And the thing is, after all these years, I still look back with wonder.
Hey there, Wonderlings. Angela Bowen here, the host of Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast. How's everyone doing today? It's a beautiful, beautiful day outside. Hey, Gwen, I see you over there looking at me. Oh, my cat. You can tell it's hot when she can barely open her eyes. Anyway, today I'm going to be discussing Season 5, Episode 15, entitled Of Mastodons and Men, which aired on February 12th, 1992. So this was just 2 days before Valentine's Day. All right. Kevin starts spending most of his time with his new girlfriend, Julie, and her family, no longer allowing him to, quote-unquote, hang out with the guys, so he's got zero guy time. When she all of a sudden wants him to, quote-unquote, go steady, as in full-on dating, he begins to have second thoughts about their relationship. Well, I don't know how long they've been dating. They must have just started, and she's already jumping the gun to steady. Whoa. Just whoa. Well, I want to look at the booklet here because it has... Let me grab it. Shit. I almost spilled my little pretzel nubblers. Okay. Fun fact. This is in the booklet for this episode. I'm trying to pronounce his name. Is it Lyman? L-Y-M-A-N. Lyman Ward guest stars as Julie's dad in this episode, but may be best known for playing a different dad in Ferris Bueller. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Also, he was in the very beginning of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So there's a connection there. So, yeah. Alright, so I want to read this post that I put on Instagram and the Facebook, Looking Back on My Wonder Years podcast page. Kevin may be in over his head when he starts dating Julie. I mean, she's making him pop his shirt collar. Weird, because I thought that was mainly a thing in the 80s. And taking him to meet the Rents. Monopolizing him to the point where he has no guy time. Yikes. Kevin, get out. Get out now before she starts naming your children and planning for the wedding. Yee. And I like the comment someone put down here. He said, he left her for Winnie Cooper. Yeah, he did. Because Winnie is coming up in the next episode. I am excited. Winnie and Kevin. Yes. But before we jump into this episode, let's hear an opening quote from older adult Kevin. All right, this is from adult Kevin, of course. He always opens up the episode with a narration. In a lot of ways, high school boys are a lot like primitive man. They forage for their food. They fashion crude tools. And of course, they hang out in groups. In fact, about the only difference between my friends and Neanderthal man was Neanderthals had bigger brains. The tribe. That year we were inseparable. We'd faced all the challenges, all but one anyway. Women. Julie Adim. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing her name wrong. We'd been going out for 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. That's too soon to be meeting the Rents and all that stuff. And to put it mildly, she appreciated the little things about me. She liked my laugh. She thought about me lots. That was Julie. She watched over me. She took care of me. Civilized me. Let's face it, she was good for me. And maybe a little too good. Eventually, she's going to turn into a smotherer. So Kevin's in class, not sure which one, but they're watching a film strip. Which, I remember doing it a lot in, like, second and third grade. And I think eventually we just, I mean, because they did have VCRs and stuff like that. But I still remember wanting to hang by the projector because it was warm. So we see Ricky here as he's got a Kit Kat bar or a something bar that he pulled out of his pocket and is munching on that. The room is kind of dark because, you know, they're playing a film strip. So kids are throwing paper airplanes, just throwing paper at each other. The girls are trying not to get hit. Chuck is taking the lead out of a pen and using it for like a spit wad or something. Kevin, of course, is trying to put together a paper airplane. I remember having made a few paper airplanes in my day. They flew for a little bit. Oh, he's not making a paper airplane. He's just crunching up paper. And probably getting ready to chuck it at somebody. Oh, he slammed it at Chuck before Chuck even got a chance to blow out of that what used to be a pen. Hey, there's Paul. Oh, is Paul doing the thing with, you know, the sweater over the shoulders kind of crossed underneath the neck? I like that. It's my Polly. Paul Bo. This lady, I've seen her in stuff. I don't know who she is, but I'm looking it up right now. I swear. I've seen her in something. She's got to be history teacher or something. But I swear I've seen this woman in something. She's got the face. She's got the really, like, cropped, like, hair just below the ears. All right, let's see here. I'm sure I've seen her in something. What's her name? Oh, here she is. Pamela Gordon. She plays Miss Harrelson. I know I've seen her in something. I've never seen Weird Science, so I know it's not that. Let's check here. Let's check her IMDb. She was in The Twilight Zone in 85. I didn't watch those episodes. She was in, Poltergeist 2, Kane's People. Yeah, like I'm going to recognize her from that. Tales from the Crypt. She was only in one episode of The Wonder Years. She was in My So-Called Life. Freaks and Geeks, Time of Your Life, Charm, no, West Wing, no, Two Guys in a Pizza Place, no, King and Queen, zero, okay, I guess I haven't, she just looks like somebody I would see in something, I don't know, gosh, I can't even place it what I would think I would have seen her in, even though I looked at her IMDb, there's like next to nothing there that I would have seen her in. Do you know who she almost reminds me of? If you've seen Pet Sematary, Missy, she's kind of like a housekeeper for the Creed family, and it's not her, by the way, it's not. She shuts the film strip off, asks them if they have any questions, which of course they don't, otherwise they wouldn't be throwing shit at each other. I love how on the wall there's a poster of a mastodon. So Kevin's got his crew. He's got his boys. And they are walking down the hall strutting their stuff like their shit don't stink. And it don't because they be awesome. Let's see. We got Kevin. We got Ricky and Chuck. And of course my lovely Polly boy. So Chuck suggests, hey, want to shoot some hoops after school? Everyone says, oh, hell yeah, I'm in, count me in, sure. And that's when we hear someone go, Kevin! It's his girlfriend. She's calling for some mech time. He's probably like, catch you guys later. I got my girl. I got to go after my girl.
Listen, you guys
want to
shoot some hoops after school? Oh, yeah, count me in. Got it. Hey, Kev, you playing?
Sure. Towards the tribe. That year we were inseparable. We'd faced all the challenges.
Kevin!
All but one, anyway. Women.
Look, guys, I gotta take a rain check, okay?
Okay, so her name was Julie Adam. Okay, I'll remember that now. So he basically, she calls his name, they all turn and look at her. Kevin's like, hey guys, I gotta take a rain check on the b-ball game, alright, I'll catch you later. And now he and Julie are walking home. Aww, he's so cute. Alright, I'm gonna check out, Jennifer, what the hell? I thought her name was Julie. Who are all these people? Did she get a lot of sisters? Janie Adam, June Adam, Jennifer. Oh my goodness gracious. That's a lot. Okay, here we go. She was on Growing Pains. She's only been in... She was in the new Lassie. Oh my gosh, is that the girl? Oh my gosh, that's her. I remember the new Lassie. Okay, she played in 1992. She played Cheryl. That was Cheryl? Cheryl Murray, who Ben and Luke fight over? Oh my gosh! She played this. Oh my. Because Cheryl Murray in Growing Pains, you know, she was like, had glasses and everything, but then she changed her look to like what she kind of looks like here. I recognize her from all of these things. Oh, I'm excited. I'm going to see if I can ever find some more of the new Lassie, because that was one of the other things I would watch on TV when my grandma would take me to visit my mom and everything. It'd always be, like, she'd take me about, like, 3 o'clock or 2:30, and we'd stay there till maybe about 4. So we watched, like, The New Lassie, Punky Brewster, The Game Show I'm Telling, Highway to Heaven, all of those. This is so awesome, guys. I am so excited. I don't know why, but I am. All right, I want to play this clip of Kevin walking home his girlfriend. I know, his only real true girlfriend will ever be Winnie Cooper. But it's still fun to see him interact with other girls.
We've been going out for 2 weeks. And to put it mildly.
Carry my books?
Sure.
You don't mind?
You kidding?
She appreciated the little things about me.
You know you have a really cute laugh.
Really?
She liked my laugh.
I thought about you today.
Yeah. I was thinking about you too.
She thought about me. Lots.
I thought that you'd look really good in stripes.
No kidding?
Yeah, with the collar up. You know, it really suited you.
That was Julie. She watched over me. Took care of me. Civilized me.
How's that?
So much better.
Let's face it. She was good for me.
So she's like, oh, I thought about you today. And they're holding hands. And he's like, oh, yeah, he thought about you too. And I love how she says, I love your laugh. It is so cute. And he kind of chuckles. Oh, he does have a cute laugh, though. I like that. And she's like, oh, I think you would look amazing in a striped shirt. And he's like, oh, yeah, really? Okay. And she's like, oh, here, let me put your collar up. Oh, it looks so good on you. You look so much better. So she's already fixing his attire, changing how he dresses, you know, what he wears, and all that stuff. And Kevin's okay. I mean, he's like, she takes care of me and everything. So they walk up. Her dad is working on this really beautiful red tiny car that looks like it would only fit one person. And actually, Julie is also wearing red. You know why I'm making a big thing about this? Because it's red. It's my favorite color. And Kevin's like, not only is Julie awesome, but her dad is da bomb. He is really cool. Because, you know, her dad's working on a car, and, you know, boys and cars, they like cars. Well, maybe not all boys, but some boys. Most part of them. Jeremy is not really, I mean, he'll drive a car, but he's not going to work on a car. Oh, I want to play this clip between Kevin and Mr. Adam, which actually, you know, that's a thing, because he's like, how many times did I tell you, call me Ben? I would never, I don't think any of the friends that I had ever, their parents never said, oh, call me such and such, call me this. And I'm just like, no. And I feel bad that it's like, I can't even call Jeremy's mom by her first name. I just refer to her as Jeremy's mom. It's a personal thing. I just think maybe it's, like, too personal for me. I don't know. But here's the clip.
If that wasn't enough.
Hey, Julie. Hey, Kevin.
She had a great dad, too.
How's the car going, Miss Radom?
How many times do I have to tell you to call me Ben?
Ben.
Well, finally got that carburetor problem solved. Now she's ready for a little spin.
I admired the guy. He had hobbies, he was funny. A real man's man.
Honey, did I hear you say you're going to take the sports car out for a drive?
Thought so, yeah.
You remember our agreement to only drive the sports car on the weekends?
I don't know what got into me.
A man's man who was surrounded by women.
He'd be off driving it day and night if I let him, wouldn't you, Ben?
Not that Julie's mom wasn't every bit as fun-loving as her dad.
Hey, Kevin, why don't you stay for dinner?
I'd love to, Jim.
She was just more civilized.
I mean, Mrs. Adam.
After all, like mother, like daughter.
Come, Kevin.
So, now we meet Mrs. Adam, who, for a second, almost looks like a dead ringer for Allie Mills. I mean, wow. She really, really does. And, of course, Kevin calls, you know, she's like, hey, Kevin, do you want to stay for dinner? And he's like, oh, yeah, June. And she just gives Kevin this look like, what did you call me? She just, her smile, boom, it's gone. And Kevin quickly sees this, and he's like, I mean Mrs. Adam. And immediately, boom, smiles back on. She goes into the house. Julie's like, come, Kevin. Like, she's calling a dog. And the other thing I want to mention, which you heard in the clip, is how Mrs. Adam is directing her husband. Like, oh, honey, remember, you only drive the sports car on the weekends. That was the agreement. Like, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, dear. You know, slipped my mind. So this is clearly a household that the wife wears the pants of the family and the husband is like the lowly servant. Like, yes, dear, whatever you say, dear. And Kevin is, that's just a little glimpse. Because Julie is exactly like her mother. We see now where she gets that, how she's treating. Kevin is exactly how her mother treats her father. And now we see the dog poo-poo or poopsie or poo or whatever. That is a stupid name for a dog. I'm sorry, but you couldn't have come up with something cuter like, I don't know. The dog's name is Poo Poo. I kid you not. It's a cute little Yorkie. I'm surprised it doesn't have a bow in its fur. What is it, trying to hump Kevin's leg? Ugh, gross. A cuter name would be like, well, I don't know. Sebastian's a cute name, but not for a dog like that. A dog like a Yorkie needs a fancy frou-frou name like Margot or, I don't know if it's a boy or a girl, so, Cedric or something fancy like Reginald or Rexford or whatever. So Kevin is at dinner with Adam, and excuse me, we've got the little girls, Julie's got little sisters, who are probably about the age of this, like, maybe 8 and 10, maybe? Apparently, the dog is not a fan of the husband, and the mother's like, oh, quiet, Pooh, take the dog out of the kitchen while you guys are eating dinner. If that dog isn't going to behave, it's going to bark at people, get it out of the, put it in the garage, put it in a bedroom somewhere. That is just very distracting. So is this a female dog, probably? Because he lives in a family of females. Like, the husband is surrounded by females. He's got three daughters. He's got his wife. He is outnumbered. And he pretty much lets them just walk all over him. So I just looked up the filmography of the girls, the two little sisters, and this is the only thing they ever did. They were never in anything else. I thought one of them looked almost familiar enough that maybe she was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles as Steve Martin's daughter, but no. And apparently, yeah, the husband is the only one the dog barks at, which there's a... No, that dog needs to be, like, trained and corrected not to do that. Are you kidding me? This lady is not only, like, the wife. He's taking a bite of his food, and she's like, no, dear, remember, the salad fork. Lady, a fork is a goddamn fork! Let him fucking eat however the fuck he wants. You're not in a fancy-ass restaurant. You're not in living in high society. My God. I would have gotten out of that marriage a long time ago if I was him. That is craziness. He can't possibly enjoy that. He looks like he's been emasculated. Like she's taken his balls from him. I feel so bad. I'm happy that eventually, spoiler alert, Kevin does see this. And he's like, I gotta get the fuck away. I gotta get out of here because this is not healthy. So I want to play this clip of Kevin there at dinner. And you're just gonna hear, this is just an insane family.
My daughter.
Come, Kevin. Don't.
All in all, it was quite a household. Filled with doilies and lace curtains. And of course, poo-poo.
Quiet, poo-poo, quiet.
I don't get it, Daddy. You're the only one that poo-poo barks at.
That's because poo-poo loves him. Yeah, Daddy, poo-poo loves you.
The Adam family was a model of decorum. There may have been a reason for that.
Oh, Ben, the salad fork.
The girls outnumbered the boys by a ratio of 4-1. 5-1 if you counted the pooch.
So, Kev, what do you like for the World Series?
I don't know. I think I like the Tigers, or maybe the Cubs.
Oakland's gonna knock everyone else on their butts.
Daddy!
Ben.
Oh, sorry. Not at the dinner table.
Still, I had to admit, I liked it there. It was nice being in a civilized home.
Ben, fix your cup.
A home where people actually said please and used butter knives, as opposed to say, the Arnold House. We were a house of men, a house of slobs, a house of hunters. Fortunately, as it happened, there had wandered into our camp one person who did her best to look out for our best interests.
Kevin, I thought you hated that striped shirt. Me? No, I saw it in my closet and I think it suits me.
Well, why's the collar up?
Well, it just so happens that some people like the way this looks, butt brain.
What people?
None of your business.
Julie.
Who's Julie?
No one.
She got you on a pretty short leash there, huh, Kev?
This from a guy whose last successful relationship was with a nose hair clipper.
At least I got a girlfriend.
You're running over to her house every single day.
I, for one, think Julie's very good for you, Kevin. Jack, look how nice Kevin looks.
Why's your collar up?
I'm out of here.
Ain't no sense explaining myself to these cretins.
Hey, butthead. Make sure your seams are straight.
After all, why wallow in abuse when I could have...
So, Mr. Adam is so starved for male companionship. Just a guy to have in this world of women that he lives with. That he's like, hey, Kev, what do you think about the World Series? And he's like, oh, I bet the Tigers or the Cubs will win. And then, of course, Mr. Abrams like, oh, I bet the California, whatever, I forgot already, are going to kick their butts. Knock everyone on their butt. And, of course, the girl's like, Daddy! And then the wife's like, Ben, like, we don't talk like that in this house. Like, my God, she has got that man on a short. Like I said, she's got his balls in her hands. He's got no balls anymore because he gave them up when he married that woman. So Kevin is now like, he felt comfortable there and everything, but of course it hasn't really set in just yet, just if you look a little closer. And now we move to the Arnold House as he's kind of comparing the two families. You know, Ben is living with a in a world of women. Norma is living in a world of dominated by men. You know, her husband, her sons, they're messy, they're noisy, they birch, they belt, they all say, excuse me. And she just, the look on her face is like, oh, God, I live in a world of men. And of course, she notices Kevin's striped shirt. Like, oh, since when are you wearing a striped shirt? I thought you hated stripes. And he's like, oh, no, I found this in the back of my closet. I thought I'd, you know, give it a whirl. And then Wayne is like, oh, my gosh. This wouldn't be Julie's influence, right? And, of course, Norma's like, oh, who's Julie? And Kevin's like, oh, it's nobody. Like, they've been dating for 2 weeks. Don't tell me you don't know who she is. And then Wayne gets the hell out of there, and, Norma comes over to Jack and says, Jack, doesn't Kevin look nice? Jack puts down the paper, which has pretty much been blocking his view the whole time, looks at Kevin and says, what's wrong with your collar? And Kevin's like, nothing, I'm out of here. And it's like, yeah, this is a style, did this start in the 70s? Because I thought, maybe it started in the 70s and was, like, more popularized in the 80s? I mean, I know, like, the collar of the jacket, like, Rebel Without a Cause or whatever, stuff like that, or, the Outsiders, but I thought the popped shirt collar was a 80s thing. So, yeah. So now Kevin is over at Julie's for milk and cookies! Oh!
Milk and cookies. Terrific. Thanks.
Yeah, this was the life. Catered to. Cuddled. Taken care of.
Damn.
So, did you miss me?
You just went upstairs to get some cookies.
I missed you.
Well, yeah. Yeah, of course I missed you.
Still, at 2.5 weeks into the relationship, it was beginning to occur to me that civilization was not without its discontents.
What are you thinking?
She asked me that a lot.
I'm thinking, these are great cookies.
Well, tomorrow I'll make brownies.
Tomorrow?
Hello?
Oh, Daddy must be home.
Anybody down here?
Daddy. Hey, Ben.
Kev, how you doing? New muffler, check it out.
Well, that's great, Daddy.
Oh, yeah, let me get something out of my toolbox and I'll get out of your way.
Daddy, look what you're doing to Poo-Poo. You're hurting her feelings.
Oh, I don't know what got into me.
Well, I'll go get her a biscuit.
And suddenly, the thought struck me this guy might appreciate a little male bonding.
So, Ben, it's a great cell you got here.
Yeah, a few too many nylons for my taste.
Oh, yeah, me too. Some dog.
No dog. Some other time.
Sorry, honey. And there you had it.
Did you miss me?
So much for guy talk.
Yeah, of course I missed you.
And we were back to milk and cookies.
Well, I really gotta get back home.
But you're coming over tomorrow afternoon, right?
Of course. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
So she brings Kevin down some milk and cookies, and right away she's like, oh, did you miss me? And he's like, you were gone like maybe less than 2 minutes. This girl's like really, really clingy and just, ooh. And this frickin' poo-poo dog is hanging around Kevin, and Kevin just kind of shoves the dog off like, will you get off me? So the dog's got no problem with Kevin, it's just the husband that the dog's got a problem with. And then she's like, oh, I miss you. And Kevin's like, oh, well, yeah, of course I missed you. Sure, why not? But then Julie's dad comes downstairs with, I guess he wants to show Kevin the new muffler for the sports car. And Julie zips upstairs to get a dog biscuit for the dog. And she's all like, Daddy, you're making Poo-Poo upset. You're hurting her feelings. This dog. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like dogs, but that would be annoying. There's something wrong with that dog if it doesn't like men. Of course, the dog is female, but still, I don't understand it. Maybe the dog senses the overwhelming femininity in that family, and they're all, like, ganging up on the poor father. So while Julie's upstairs getting a biscuit for the dog, Ben, Julie's dad, kind of leans into Kevin and says, the dog's no Duke. And then as Julie comes downstairs with the biscuit, he kind of leans back into Kevin and says, I'll tell you about Duke some other time. Like, yeah. So Kevin's like, pretty much, hey, I gotta head out, I gotta go. And she's like, oh, you're coming over tomorrow afternoon, right? My goodness! And he's like, oh, yeah, of course, I wouldn't miss it for the world. And now we get to hear the guys complaining, like, hey, we thought that you were gonna play basketball with us. Well, Kev's got a girlfriend who's got him on, as Wayne calls it, a short leash. So, and Kevin's like, hey, don't worry, I'll be there. And Paul even, like I said it, he says, you know, she's really smothering you. And she is. She's smothering the life out of Kevin. Kevin just doesn't realize it yet. But he will soon enough.
I thought you were going to be playing ball with us this afternoon.
I was. I just made these kind of plans.
What plans?
Nothing. I was just going to go over to
Julie's house.
But we were going to play 3-on-3.
Okay. No problem. I'll be there.
Yeah, right.
And that's when I felt a cold chill.
What?
Man, she is really smothering you.
What are you talking about?
But I guess I knew. It was written all over their faces.
Look, guys, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm playing ball. I don't have to ask anyone. No one's going to stop me.
There. I'd faced the tribe. I'd made my stand.
Hi, Kevin.
Just one little problem.
I missed you.
Maybe that's when I began to realize.
So in the next scene, Julie and Kevin are walking Poo-Poo. Kevin's actually holding the pink leash. A lot of pink. So, yeah, it looks like he ditched his friends again to walk Julie's dog and hold her hand. So Kevin's in history class the next day. Or, I guess it's history. And the guys are talking about playing football. And Kevin kind of looks over and says, hey, guys, when are you playing? And Chuck is, like, looking around, like, what? Did someone say something? I heard a voice, but... Yeah, they're kind of ignoring Kevin. They're a little irritated with him. So here's Kevin whining to the boys about wanting to play. And they're like, come on, Kevin. You're busy. You got a girlfriend. You don't got time for us anymore.
Come on, guys.
I can whine.
What?
I want to play.
Look, Kev, you bailed at us yesterday.
And you didn't even tell us.
I got tied up. It was an emergency.
It was Julie, wasn't it?
It was one time. I promise, it'll never happen again. Please?
And with that, I bared my soul, thrown myself on the mercy of the tribe. And they, in turn, pronounced their verdict.
What the hell?
And so, that afternoon, I was reborn. A few hours with the guys, and I remembered who I was. Kevin Arnold. Runner. Passer. Hunter. Warrior. And it felt good.
So Kevin's having a great time hanging out with the guys, playing football. He comes home. He's like, oh, hey, Mom. As he heads out of the kitchen. His mom turns, and she's got kind of like an interesting expression on her face. Like, oh, Kevin, how could you not notice there's somebody here? Like, Kevin, you have a visitor. And you hear that horror music pipe in as he turns, and Julie is there. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing at my house?
Yep.
Hey, Mom.
By the time I got home, I was a new man.
Kevin, you have a visitor. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I wasn't expecting you.
Julie and I were just getting to know one another. I was just worried about you, Kevin.
That's sweet. She was just worried about you. So, Julie, what's going on?
Oh, nothing. I thought you were coming over today.
Isn't that sweet?
Mom,
I'll just leave you two together.
See you later, Julie. Hope so, Mrs. Arnold.
Isn't that sweet?
Okay. It was clear we'd reached a critical juncture.
Julie. Yes, Kevin?
It was time to set ground rules, here and now.
Well, every once in a while, guys just, you know, gotta hang out with other guys.
And there it was. Gentle, but somehow firm.
I guess you forgot what today is.
Today?
It's our 3-week anniversary.
It is?
I got you a gift.
Oh, jeez.
You did?
Open it.
Made you wonder if they knew how to gift wrap crow.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I love it. It's great. It's
striped.
You know, Kevin, if you want to be with a guy sometimes, I understand.
No, that's not it. It's just
I wouldn't want you to feel like I'm smothering you.
No, don't be ridiculous. You're not smothering me.
Because if you don't think we're right for each other.
No, Julie, I definitely think we're right for each other.
That's what I think, Kevin.
And right about then, something went wrong.
So maybe it's time we made more of a commitment.
A commitment?
Oh, Kevin, this is so exciting. I can't wait to tell everyone we're going to study. First, we have to tell Mommy and Daddy at dinner.
And suddenly, somehow, I was going steady.
So Julie's there. So Norma tells Kevin that she and Julie have been getting to know one another, and Norma just loves this girl. I mean, she's probably lonely since Karen isn't there anymore, so she's got to have her girl time. You know, she's surrounded by guys all the time. And she's like, oh, well, I thought you were coming over today. And Kevin's like, well, Norma's still there. It's like, Mom, can you please go away? You know, was going to hang out with the guys. I kind of need my time to hang out with the guys. And that's when Julie's like, oh, you must have forgotten what today is. And Kevin's like, what's today? And she's like, it's our 3-week anniversary. And he's like, oh, yeah, great. She hands him a gift. Turns out it's a striped shirt, just like she likes him to wear. It's like, oh my goodness. And then she's all straightening the collar that he's wearing. His t-shirt underneath is really grody and dirty. And, oh my gosh, the way I have it paused, it almost looks like it's a face. The dirt smudges on his orange shirt. It looks like you can make out, there's a nose, there's a bridge of the nose, there's the eyes underneath the eyebrows, and then, of course, there's like a little goatee dealy mustache thing with the lip there. I don't know. I might take a picture of this with my phone and put it on Instagram and see what you guys think. Do you think if you look close enough, it could look like a face? Anyway, yeah, I just posted that on Instagram. So you guys look at the picture and you comment if you see the face. Anyway, back to the episode. She's got Kevin a gift for their 3-week anniversary. It's a striped shirt. She's fixing the collar on his button-up shirt. And she's like, oh, you know, I think it's time that, you know, if you're serious about us, we should take this to the next step, which is going steady. And then she's, oh, we got to tell mommy and daddy at dinner and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, ugh, that is no. Kevin, if you don't want this relationship, speak up. So Kevin's walking up the walkway to Julie's house. I've already forgotten the last name. It starts with an A. I remember that. Adam or something. And Ben's out in the garage kind of working on the sports car. And he's like, hey, Kev, I hear there's going to be a little announcement. So Julie's already said she's got a big announcement. Great. So Kevin's clearly not going to be able to back out of this. All right. Let's hear about Duke. I want to hear about Duke. Ben's going to tell Kevin about Duke, the greatest dog that ever lived.
Hey, Kev. I hear there's going to be a little announcement tonight.
Great. The whole family knew. And not only that, now we were going to have the talk, the father of the bride speech, about the birds, about the bees.
Duke loved nights like this.
About Duke.
Was Duke your dog?
Duke was a hell of a dog. Not like Poo-Poo back there. Duke was a black lab, 80 pounds. He was so full of fun, so full of spirit. He was a real man's best friend kind of a dog, you know? Duke wasn't afraid of anything.
I could tell Duke was more than just a dog to this guy.
What happened to him?
Ran away the day I proposed to June. Still think about him, you know? You know, every now and then, at night, I swear I can still hear Duke's howl.
Ben! Dinner!
Come on.
So Duke was a black lab. You know, he was the dog that, Ben had probably through college and high school and everything like that. And he says that Duke ran off the day he proposed to Julie's mother. Well, Duke saw what June was and got the fuck out of Dodge. He's like, I'm not, no. You're on your own, Ben. It was nice knowing you. The 10 years we had together was amazing, but I gotta bolt. I gotta bounce. So here we go. Kevin is having dinner with them again. And,
my best to forestall the inevitable.
Kevin. Tour of the Paros, Miss Zadoff. Thank you, Kevin.
But then, I suppose they don't call it the inevitable for nothing.
Kevin, don't you have an announcement to make?
At least not around the Adam household.
Yeah, I do.
Well, Kevin, I think you should stand up.
And so, we'd arrived. At the last exit. The final whistle.
Well?
And that's when it happened.
Honey?
It was weird.
Stop that!
I thought Poopoo reported to you, Daddy.
It was horrible.
Down, Poopoo, down.
It was amazing. Almost as if Poopoo knew I was about to join the ranks of Adam men. Maybe I got a little carried away about the Mastodon thing, but I wasn't. wasn't just speaking for myself. I was speaking for all mankind. For Ben. And even for Duke. Wherever he was.
I can't do it, Julie. We can't go steady.
And then, it was over. Except for one thing.
I think you better go, Kev.
Good idea.
So Kevin's sitting there having dinner. Julie's kind of like, hey, Kevin, why don't you make the announcement now? Hey, Kevin, why don't you stand up before you make the announcement? And finally, Kevin, it's like he hears Duke's howl, and it just hits him all of a sudden. And then, of course, Poo-Poo starts pawing at Kevin's leg and barking at him, and the two little corn children are all like, Daddy, we thought that Poo-Poo only barked at you. And that just hits Kevin like, I gotta get out of here. I can't do this. He looks at Julie. He says, I don't want to go steady. I like wearing my collar down. I hate striped shirts. I need to hang out with my boys. I can't. So Julie, of course, is in tears. She runs off. The mother runs off with after her to console her. The two little corn children run after her. And then it's just Ben and Kevin there. And Ben, I think in a way he kind of admires Kevin. Kevin had the guts to do what Ben couldn't do. Ben is pure whipped. He is pure whipped to the point of being whipped cream. But all he says to Kevin is, hey, Kev, I think you better go. So, and Kevin's like, yeah, I think you're right. And Kevin gets the hell out of there.
I rejoined my tribe. And in a lot of ways, I was back where I belonged.
I'll be right back.
Still, I guess I knew there was still some unfinished business. Between Ben and me, at least.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Kevin. I thought that was you. You look pretty good out there.
Thanks. So, how's Julie?
I found a new guy. They're going steady.
No kidding.
Yeah, he looks great in stripes.
I bet. Hey, got the car out on a Thursday, huh?
Yeah, I thought I'd go a little crazy.
And in a way, I couldn't help thinking I had something to do with it.
Well, it was nice seeing you again.
Hey, Kevin. One day you're gonna see.
What's that?
It's not that bad. Having people who care for you, you know?
I guess Ben understood something. Something I'd learn. In time.
Come on, Ken, let's go.
Thanks. I'll keep that in mind.
I was just a 16-year-old guy. And the way I saw it, there were still a lot of mastodons yet to be slayed.
So Kevin's kind of reclaimed his spot in the pack. He's back with the boys, throwing shit during the film strips in history class, playing the football. He sees Ben out with the sports car on a Thursday. And then he just, chats with Ben. Apparently Julie's got a new guy who looks good in stripes. And they're going steady. And then Ben leaves. But not before parting some wise wisdom to Kevin. He leaves, and then there's this old Labrador that apparently is Duke, and Kevin's just like, whoa, wow. The dog takes off and runs, and then vanishes, and then you hear Duke's howl, and that is the end of the episode. So as far as for my Flower Power episode rating for this episode, I'm gonna give it a 3 out of 5. I like seeing Paul again. I like Kevin finally standing up to Julie. And I liked seeing Duke at the end and Kevin and Ben kind of, you know, ending things on a good note. Ben parts wide, wonderful words of wisdom. The two things I didn't like Julie. I didn't like her overbearing, pain in the ass, ball-holding mother. As far as Wonderling words of wisdom, don't change yourself for someone else because they like, if you hate a shirt, don't wear it just because someone says it looks nice on you. I mean, come on. And just stand up for yourself. If you don't want to do something, if you need your space, you need a little time, let them know. Don't let someone smother you or walk all over you or take advantage of you. If you're not happy, let them know. Life is short. All right, let's say hey to some Wonderling podcast listeners for the week. Actually, real quick, let me say the end quote. You heard it in the clip, but I'm going to say it. Mr. Adam, it's not that bad having people who care for you, you know? And adult Kevin, I guess Ben understood something that I'd learned in time, but me, I was just a 16-year-old guy, and the way I saw it, there was still a lot of mastodons yet to be slayed. Hear, hear, Kevin. Hear, hear. All right. Let's say hey to some Wonder Years podcast listeners. Winnipeg, Canada. Marcus Hook, Pennsylvania. Whittier, California. Aston, Pennsylvania. Brentwood, California. Evanston, Illinois. Bakersfield, California. Brooklyn, New York. Dover, Delaware, Mountain View, California, Wallingford, Connecticut, Lowell, Michigan, okay, cool, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Toronto, Canada, Miami, Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida, India, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, India, Easton, Maryland, Queenstown, Maryland, New Delhi, India, North Las Vegas, Nevada, Clifton, New Jersey, Atlanta, Georgia, Burlington, New Jersey, Allen, Texas, Cambridge, United Kingdom, Tacoma, Washington, San Luis, something, Mexico, London, United Kingdom, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Canada, Mount Holly, New Jersey, Jakarta, Indonesia, North Kingstown, Rhode Island, Bangalore, India, India, Harris Park, Australia, Houston, Texas, and Lumberton, New Jersey. All right, let's talk about next week's episode. I'm excited for next week's episode because I know it's coming. I'm excited. Let me get into here we go. Season 5, going to IMDb. Season 5, episode 16. We're getting towards the end. Double date. Like double dare, but double date. Which aired on February 26, 1992. When Kevin develops a crush on the new Swedish exchange student, of course he does, he asks Winnie to help fix him up on a date with her. In return, Winnie asks Kevin to fix her up with a new student that is in one of his classes. Things get interesting when they all are forced to double date to get to the spring dance. Oh, they're forced, are they? That'll be fun. Everyone loves to be forced to do something. Let's see. I want to read the booklet. Oh, what's... Okay, that's something else. All right. Winnie and Kevin reluctantly go on a double date, and their bickering leads to their dates liking each other instead of them. Well, you know what? Yeah. Featured songs, You Are Everything by the Stylistics. Is that how it's... And Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Everyone knows Sugar Sugar, right? Sugar, sugar, dun 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 dun. Oh, honey, honey, dun 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 dun. You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting you. Okay, that's enough. I'll probably get sued now. Anyway, have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye. See you next week, next Friday.